We are recording.
Okay. Welcome to all, and welcome to this Brown County Commissioners meeting on May 6th at 2 p.m. And as soon as I get my agenda on my phone here, we will get this meeting started. And I would ask all of you to join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. If you have a flag, that's fine. If you don't, I happen to have one right here. So let's repeat. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. And if you would join me in our invocation. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day for the safety you provided for us in our community. We pray your continued watch care over all, that we may get through this pandemic with as little suffering and death as possible. Help us to make the decisions that would make things as safe as we can for all. Go with each of us in this very troubling time. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, are there any additions or changes to the menu? The only thing I have is under other business, I'll talk about the new coroner's office. That'll be under other business number two. No, actually, that'll be under maintenance buildings and grounds. I'm sorry, number two. Any other changes or additions?
Diana, you're muted.
All right, I'm unmuted. Under county offices number four, we need to put human resources.
Okay.
Would you also ask and see if Proactive MD is here? Rodney says they are. So can you ask them to recognize themselves?
Yeah, I see Brian. Dr. Garcia there, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay, good. Thank you.
Also David Van Lake. David Van Lake.
And David, okay, good. All right.
Okay. Chance to, am I muted?
You're unmuted.
Okay. Oh, okay, thank you. Have you both had a chance to examine the minutes and claims?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And do I hear a motion for approval of one or the other or both?
I'll make a motion to approve minutes and claims. And okay. I believe we've got a couple of different sets of minutes. So okay. I think there was three. And I think we've got a, hang on, let me see which ones they are. Minutes from March the 18th, minutes from April the 28th, and minutes from April the 15th.
Okay, I think that's correct. Those are the ones we haven't approved so far. Do I have a motion? Do I hear a second?
Yes, I'll second the motion, please.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes and claims and a second. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
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 Okay, all three unanimous. Okay, we'll move on to the county department reports, boards and committees, and EMA. I think you're up first. Susan.
Susan.
Hey. Gotcha. I'm unmuted now. So basically, the second phase of the governor's reopen of Indiana went into full effect on May 4th. The biggest thing that changed with that reopening is that social gatherings of 25 or less can now happen. They are asking that people wear face coverings in public settings. It's a recommendation. It's a recommendation that Corey, myself, and Dr. Oestreich have talked about, and I believe we all agree that that is something that we would like to see occur as much as humanly possible. Religious services may reconvene inside places of worship. And that is effective the 8th of this week, which I don't even know what day the day is. What is today?
Right. It's Friday.
Whatever day. It's Wednesday today, so that Friday. And then the restaurants can reopen and retail can reopen at 50% capacity on the 11th was the date on that. Entertainment, including zoos, fairs, festivals, that all remains closed until stage 4. And right now that estimated date is June 14th. We are still working over here in the EOC as we have been since this started in March. And I think we're on March 82nd today. The PPE requests have been coming in. We've been getting them a couple through the course of the day today. We are asking that all county offices ask for PPE using the 213 form that should have gone out to all the department heads from Melissa Monday, maybe Friday, Thursday of last week. That gives Corey and I a way to track those requests as they come in. It gives us a way of knowing exactly what we have and what we need. And it also makes sure that nothing gets missed. So we're definitely asking that people continue to use that form and send them directly to Corey or I in email. The PP is not kept up at the county annex. That is down here with us in the EOC. So fill out those forms. If you need the form emailed out, we can definitely email that back out. I did get a delivery today from the Department of Homeland Security of some PPE. So we will start working on, after this meeting, filling the requests that we have received. And I think that's about it. You will see today our numbers hit 21 of the positive COVID tests in the county. That was up from 18 yesterday. So we're asking that everybody just continue to remain vigilant, do what you can, continue to social distance, continue to wear the face coverings as you can so that we can all get through this. And that's about all I have. Do you guys have any questions for me?
I do not, Susan. I just want to thank you for doing a phenomenal job. This, I know, has been really tough on you and Corey and the health department, and you have just been awesome. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. It's definitely been a long couple of months since it started back on March, 13th? Friday the 13th was the last normal day we had. I think we should talk about that.
Yes, I second that, Susan. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, very good. Okay. Kim Robinson, let's see, make sure Kim's not muted. It looks like Kim's on the phone. So, all right, we will skip over Kim for now and
go to the health plan.
Yeah, Brian Garcia and David, if you're muted, you can unmute yourselves. There you go. All right, so the health support clinic has a proposal for us, and I was just going to have them tell us about it. We haven't heard much from the health support clinic or the health clinic out at Eagle Park. So, gentlemen, floor is yours.
Hi, thank you so much. We I know you guys have been working with Rodney, or Melissa's been working with Rodney a lot on this project, and Rodney wanted us to kind of come in and help explain the program that we have, and that's why we've brought David Van Lake. He's with Proactive MD. He's out of our Colorado location, and David is our executive vice president of product and technology. And so the product and technology platform that we have is something that we want to do down in the county. And we brought in David here to kind of go over the actual specific program itself, or at least briefly describe what it is, and then see where you guys want to go with it. If you wanted to partner with us on moving forward with it for the county. But Spoke Health is the name of the platform, and it's again, I'll let David get into the details on it, but it's a kind of a triage thing for remote triage for some COVID testing, and then some other things going deeper into there. So David Van Lake, I will turn the floor over to you for right now.
Certainly. thanks for allowing us to participate. I appreciate that. One of the things that I'd like to just kind of put out there in the beginning, our health center for all of the county remains undisrupted and ready to do whatever it is that we can to help all of the county employees, right? So no real disruption in there. At the outset of our March 82nd Catalyst event, I don't even want to say COVID or coronavirus anymore. Honestly, I'm kind of with you, Susan. So one of the asks that I believe had been out there is from Brown County specifically, what can we do to help the broader community outside of the walls of just our health center? And at Proactive MD, we very much believe in providing care outside the walls. And it's one of the things that is kind of we hold very dear in terms of our patient promise and just fighting for the good of, the greatest good of all of our patients. And wherever we have the opportunity to be able to serve into the broader community, we are happy to contribute. So we have been in discussions with a company called Spoke Health. Spoke Health had a platform for really care navigation is the primary premise of it. So being able to launch digital questionnaires and create pathways to care for patients in a variety of ecosystems. The most common element of that would typically be navigating selection of the appropriate place to get a surgery done was their original context. At the outset of this coronavirus issue, they were actually approached by the country of the Philippines. The use case around this was Philippines having a major outbreak. They did not have a lot of resources at their disposal to be able to manage their population. And they actually had people going door to door and taking people's temperatures day after day after day in the local communities in order to help manage and get people connected into testing facilities and things like that. Horribly inefficient. So they were approached by local government officials that are closely connected to the development team. This development team said, hey, we could actually turn this on its side a little bit, what we normally do, and turn this into a public facing triage tool that would allow a care team on the back end to provide some sort of insight or navigation to appropriate pathways of care, right? So the idea being when we do that, we can ask a series of questions, and the people that really don't have any cause to be concerned, we can identify them and say, here you go, here's some tools, resources, the things that you need to be concerned about. Moderate risk band of maybe you need to be concerned, you should maybe contact your doctor, here's some different layering of tools or resources that you might want to rely on. And then the high risk people, hey, you probably need to kind of quarantine, reach out to your provider, and here's another set of resources, all kind of in a digital ecosystem, which when we do that, we're actually able to be very efficient in where the energy is being placed in terms of providing care. Because the biggest component of this, at least from a provision of care standpoint or providing care standpoint, is being overwhelmed at a clinic level, right? So if we can make sure that the right people are calling us at the right time, then we're better prepared to serve them in a better fashion, right? So that's kind of the context. So what we have is, and I'll share my screen here and just demonstrate it to you, is the ability for anybody in the public, the context of this is specifically for your community, on a COVID-19.spokehealth.com webpage. All of the obviously descriptors, etc. You scroll down to the page. This is obviously all private, all HIPAA secure, very locked down application that we are completely in control of the back end. User would select their local area. Here they would select Brown County, Indiana. They're going to create their account. I've got a lot of test accounts in here, so bear with me. They will enter in their email address. And create a password. Privacy policy in terms of use are pretty standard for HIPAA compliant software. It's actually similar or in line with what the electronic medical record component would be. I won't go through that. We could, if you have questions in terms of specific language on there, I can share that with you as well. Here we go. Then they continue to build a profile, enter in their demographic information, street address, and then we do require that they put in locale information. This will help us potentially with contact tracing in the future. And for, what's a zip code out there for you?
7448.
7448, okay. So then once they've come to this state here, create their account. Yeah, they'll go directly into the questionnaire. Questionnaire, we've made it as brief as possible and as precise as possible. So do you have any of the following symptoms? Fever, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, diarrhea. I'm gonna go down the easy pathway first, which is most applicable. I don't have any of these symptoms. Secondary question, have you had exposure to or close contact with a confirmed or suspected COVID-19 patient? Select yes if you can answer yes to any of these questions. Have you traveled to a country area? Do you have or lived in a country where it's spread locally? Have close contact with somebody? Are you staying in the same area with somebody that's got it? Or have you traveled within 6 feet, 2 meters of somebody suspected? We'll just say, not that I'm aware of, no. Right. Continue. They're going to drop into dashboard with an inbox, and this inbox delivers them directly to this message. So based on your answers, you're currently at low risk of having contracted COVID-19. Make sure you're complying with all stay-at-home orders and avoiding non-essential travel. I'll check the future to make sure you're still doing well. And then this will point them at links to CDC resources. All right. From here, all right, so from here, community member can message in, and this is actually staffed by the clinic staff there in Brown County. And on their side, move this out of the way here. On their side, they have an administration panel that allows them to communicate back and forth. So on this dashboard, there's basically a task list. So any messaging that comes in, they'll be notified through this messaging panel and with to-do lists. for things that are kind of that require attention, etc. Once this questionnaire comes in, it automatically assigns to one of the clinic staff members there, not me. And let's find my test date. Here's our test date patient. So this is the one that I just filled in. And here's the inbox. And I can see this whole communication right here. And I can say, that's great. Let me know if you have any issues or questions. We can attach files, we can do all kinds of things through here. I'll talk about that in just a second. But basic premise is we can establish communication back and forth. Notifications, if a community member or if a user, obviously they're not just gonna sit on this all the time, but if they leave the site, they will be they will receive email messages that they have a new message in the Spoke Health platform. We have the ability to attach files, so we have built a library of resources that are relevant to your specific local community that our clinic staff has access to, and they can share those items with people in the community as appropriate or as needed to give them, I guess, better access or access to resources that we've cultivated. Additionally, the need for potential phone calls or video calls can be catalyzed through here. So by clicking this on the admin side, this will call this user and we can have a quick conversation. That would be maybe more relevant for somebody that's in a moderate or high risk component where we wanna reach out to them with some immediacy, check on them, make sure they're okay and help navigate them into like local testing resources or help advise them and get them connected to their doctor. In the event that they don't have a doctor, obviously, they can connect to our clinic in the area as well, but we want to direct them primarily to their primary care provider in the area versus handle the care ourselves as a first line of action. So that's the basics of it. Now I'll kind of pause there and see if anybody's got any questions, concerns, or other stuff that they wanted to bring up.
So David, is this platform specifically just for the COVID virus, or is this something that we'll continue to be using as more of a telehealth platform for our employees?
Great question. So the way that we're actually launching this is really more a community orientation. So external to your employees, right? So not necessarily county employees. The way we see the county employees is they have a connection to our clinic. We already have telehealth tools in place. They already have access to that, and they should 100% feel free to call the clinic, go into the clinic. If we want to do telehealth visits with them, that's a different platform. The context of this is to be able to publicize it into the broader community in Brown County, Indiana, so that we're helping helping support your community as a whole, right? Where I think maybe there's less recognition or less visibility of pathways to care, that kind of the, you know, what should I do? Help me, I'm just in the community in Brown County. Where do I go if I need a test? How can I get a test? Kind of this layer of something being out there, we can help navigate that is kind of the proposition here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and this is going to be navigated through our clinic?
Correct. So the clinic staff that we have there, so the admin and the nurse would be the administrators on here and kind of doing this messaging piece of it. Because generally they have some bandwidth. Like right now we see a little bit less face-to-face encounters and a little bit more telehealth. And that telehealth, that little bit of bandwidth allows us to be able to actually staff this. Now, in the event, in the event that there's not enough time to do it, we have backup staff in other locales that are prepared and ready to be able to assist in staffing this for the community as well.
So I guess my question would be, because we are a I guess we have a contract with the school because the school is actually the owner, so to speak, right, not. Melissa?
No, actually, we have a contract that is with Proactive. School owns the building and has their own contract with Proactive, but we bought into the contract with Proactive. We do not have a partnership with the school corporation.
Okay, that's, I just want, my question was to make sure we were not overstepping the school.
We're not. Actually, Laura is aware of this. She's been told about it.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be definitely a collaborative community thing going forward. And so we would definitely want everybody on board. And that's really why the presentation is here to see where you guys want to be on this and as a partner in the thing and moving forward with it to help out the community. Regardless on that end, I mean, our intent, David, right, is to go forward with this down there.
Right. Exactly.
Correct. Yes. Under the context, I mean, honestly, like we're kind of under the context of this is a community service. If FESA feels like it's the right thing to do to support your community, which is also supporting you guys in a number of ways.
That's, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I will say, like, even the clinic staff introducing this, like normally we get some resistance when I try to get the clinic staff to, you know, adopt a new piece of technology. They were very gung-ho about being able to do this in the community there for you guys as well.
Well, I think, I mean, going forward, obviously, with the increase in the amount of testing, you know, I'm not under any expectation that this thing is going to go away anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, obviously, the quarantine was never meant to outlast the virus. It was only meant to last to flatten the curve.
That's right.
Which I think we've done. But I think going forward, I mean, I think this is going to be a necessary tool that the community would absolutely support just because we have limited health resources here.
Right.
So I'm good with it.
Okay. Melissa, I think, didn't Rodney send a press release over to you? Or
yes, I have it right here.
Okay.
I have the press release. And do you need us to do, there's also some kind of contract that he has sent it. Do you need us to actually sign the contract? Or is that just?
There's my next question, Melissa. My next question is money.
Yeah. There, so, on the press release part of it, we were just needing to know, like, whose name we should put on it, that has, like, the quote from the county on there. And then on the pricing, I'm not familiar with the actual contract that was sent over there, but I do know this is something that is an initiative that we're going to do. If the county does want to pitch in on a financial basis as well, obviously we would gladly accept that too. But I'll have to get with Rodney on the actual contract, unless David, you know the context on that.
I'm actually not familiar with any component of a contract per se.
It's not a contract. It's actually just the press release. Okay. He listed it as that. He says on here that there is no cost to us at this point unless we want to donate and help contribute. They just want to know if you want it to say Brown County Government, do you want it to say Brown County Commissioners, and how do you want that to come out actually for the actual press release and the promotional?
I'd like to talk with Dr. Laura because, I mean, the health clinic is really her baby. We're a partner in it and we're part of it. But I would
right love now to- it says Proactive MD, Spoke Health, and the Brown County Government partner to launch the first of its kind COVID-19 care solution. That's what it says.
Right.
What I would really like for it to say is that the commissioners partnering with the school because I think it's important for all of us to be on the same page. And I mean, I certainly don't want to steal Laura's thunder, because this is, you know, this is kind of her baby. Mike Magner's shaking his head over there.
I think it's that's the right approach. It is kind of a partnership, but the school did initiate it. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so, let's talk to Dr. Laura, and then.
So, are you guys okay with your part of being a part of it?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. We're open to anything. And again, like this is a community service from our perspective, right? Okay. So we want to be able to do this just to again help serve your community. To us, it feels good. Whoever we need to put on that to make sure it's got the right attribution and recognition associated with it, we're not going to put up any barriers on that, right?
All right, so do you guys...
Can I ask a clarifying question?
I just got your question. Susan?
Oh, yeah, I just had a clarifying question. Is this just a pre-screening tool? This isn't... If somebody comes up and they hit a yes on all of them... And it's recommended that they're testing. This is not a tool to get them tested. This is just a tool to pre-screen them to say, yes,
that is correct.
We feel that you would recommend.
100% of this is, it's about care navigation, not provision of care. So it's, again, you're right. So if somebody came back and they were high risk, they answered everything with the highest risk capabilities, we're going to present them with just a different lens of those links and materials, which are going to be more along the CDC resources of what you do to quarantine. And we're going to actually reach out to those people. So we'll have the clinic staff call, send messages through them to get in touch with them to make sure that they have access to care, right? So the idea is, you know, A, do you have a doctor? Do you not have a doctor, right? We need to make sure that you're contacting your doctor because you are kind of high risk and that you're getting a test and that you're getting down this pathway to receive care instead of, you know, the you know, I don't know what to do type situation prevailing.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions?
So this would be if Laura wants to partner and put her name on it along with the county commissioners, then the press release can be, I'm just clarifying, can then be released, correct?
From our standpoint,
it says it's okay with me, just let her roll. I mean, just knowing Laura, that's what she's gonna say. So, but as long as that okay is done, is that what the commissioners, is that what you want?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, all right.
So I think I'll contact Laura. With Laura and see if we can loop her into this.
Yeah, I have her number. I can call her as soon as we're done. I have her cell, and we'll find out
all right
how she wants it to do.
You okay with that,
Thank
Dave?
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Okay, Dave.
I'm good with everything, if you're talking to me, Jerry. And the PR component, that actually reports up to me. So if Melissa, Diana, anybody, if you want to pull me into the conversation,
that'd be great. Yes.
Willing to participate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Awesome. Dave Anderson, are you okay?
Yes, sir.
You okay with that?
I'm good for that. I am.
Okay. Right. Diana, you're on board?
I think so. I wasn't quite sure what we were talking about from the press release. That's why I asked Melissa to get them on the call so that we could kind of really see what, you know, we're getting into. So, yeah, that really helped clarify things.
Yes, thank you very much.
Do we need a motion or anything on this?
No, because it's nothing that we're going to be spending on, so we're good.
Okay, good.
We're just supporting.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yes.
You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and share the link. I'm going to go ahead and share the link in the meeting chat for you guys, and everybody else can feel free to test it and play around with it.
Okay. All right.
And then I'll hop off, and everybody is welcome to, you know, contact me if you need anything at all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Brian.
Bye. Okay. Let's jump back to Kim Robinson for a report on COAD.
Hey there. Sorry about that. I had a phone call on the hotline, so I had to answer it. So we, since we started this meal delivery March 27th, we have delivered 1,313 meals as of yesterday. So we are, that's a lot of food that Mother's Cupboard, they have done all those meals. It's anywhere from 25 to 55 extra meals a day. And they are being delivered by my triad. I call them Charlie's Angels. I've got three ladies who take care of the delivery. So we've taken groceries, meaning, you know, a bag of groceries from Mother's Cupboard or a bag of groceries from St. Vincent de Paul to 32 families. We gave out over 800 pounds of food through St. Vincent de Paul to the 13 Head Start families. We loaded up their bus and delivered a massive amount of food to them. We had the pop-up pantry. We gave away 7 pallets of food to 160 families plus. And then on May 16th, we're going to have another little pop-up here at the Y with just some bagged grocery items that are extra from St. Vincent de Paul. And today has been a busy day on the phone. It's been quiet for a few days, but today it's ringing off the hook. So food has been the number one need so far, and just to answer questions. So it's good to hear that the wellness center will take a screening, but it will not test. So I'm glad I heard that, so I don't send someone there to get a full-blown test. So
unless they are already a member of the clinic, and a county employee or a school employee.
So if you're a member of the clinic, you can get...
Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wait, say that again.
Okay, so if...
I'm a member.
Okay, if you're a member of the clinic and you get ill and you go out there and you go through the screenings and they determine that you could that you have COVID or there's a possibility, they do have tests there.
Okay.
They're limited, so it wouldn't be like we could do like a mass testing. That's not been discussed, but that's something that the health department has to work with them. But the health department has been working with them. They've gotten some of our officers tested that have been in active COVID-ish situations.
So a non-member will just get the screening, a member that's right. of the, okay, okay.
And that's they will be directed though. They will be, let's say they go through the screening and it's hot. There's a lot there. They will have someone contact them sure. from the health yeah. clinic and they will get them where they need to go.
Okay. So I've been having them call Columbus Regional, the phone number there. We've talked about that with Susan and Corey. So I know that process, but having the screening out here will be nice too. So.
And that's something that people can use, like if you have county insurance, you can use the IU Health tool, telehealth tool, that's part of your, your insurance. But if you don't have that, then this is a great tool for people to use.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, I mean, I've just been manning the telephone and answering questions. I had a question today about the Section 8 housing when it was open and a high water bill. Why my water bill is so high? And I don't have a job and I can't, pay for my rent. So every phone call, I just field out to the appropriate person that's on my Rolodex.
Kim, we thank you so much. You have done such a fantastic job with this.
You're welcome. And I even take the phone home with me on the weekend so it gets answered.
I know you do.
Yes, we can, yeah. So.
Thanks, yeah. Kim.
No problem.
Yes, thank you, Kim. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think are we ready for Mike?
We're ready for Mike.
Okay, Mike, it's all yours.
Hang on a minute. We gotta switch screens.
Good afternoon. I'll give some quick updates. On the first one on the bids that we took in at the last meeting for our 2020 grant for our road paving. The All-Star Paving was the low bidder. They were underneath the estimate. Everything appeared to be in order, so they have submitted their draft contract, and I would like to ask the commissioners to go ahead and approve that. We'll send it up to legal, but it's just our generic contract that we use that we've used on all of our paving projects for the last 5 years. So with the commissioner's approval, we'll go ahead and approve that contract so I can get it submitted to NDOT, because they have to review them and approve them before we can go ahead and request the $1 million in funding.
So do you have the contract?
Yeah, yes.
So I'll make a motion to approve the paving contract between the county commissioners and All Star Paving, subject to legal review. The total contract price is $1,431,686.32. And that is our grant plus our match.
And the grant will be the full million.
And the grant's the full million.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the paving contract with All Star. That's Community Crossings grant matching program. We have a motion. Do I hear a second?
You hear a second, I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any discussion or any questions by anyone?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Everybody chatting in?
Nobody's, I don't have anybody on chat. Nobody has their hand raised.
Okay. Being no further discussion, then we'll take a vote. Dave, are you a yes or no?
I'm a yes.
Okay, and Diana?
Yes.
And I'll vote in favor as well. So it's a unanimous approval for the Community Crossings bid contract with All Star. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Next on the list is just some updates on our next upcoming federal aid countywide bridge inspection, which is a 2021-2024 four-year cycle. Those requests for proposals are out on the street. They're due back in May the 15th from the qualified engineering firms. So we will be looking at those here in the near future. I've had several firms call with questions. So there's a lot of interest in that. So we'll have that at a future meeting. We are doing our final review of some additional paving, the funds we have available now that we have a secured number on our community crossing project. We know what that's going to cost us. We had already budgeted for that in this year's budget. I'd put in a line item just for the match money to cover that with anticipation we would get it, which was great. So we've already got that in place. That's already budgeted. Another one on the list, just an update on our on the trail project. If you've driven by out on 46 East, you can see some semi-trailers sitting out there with truss parts. I talked to them about lunchtime today. They're waiting on a load of new pins for the bearing seats. And as soon as they get those pins, they'll be able to start putting steel up in the air. So they're going to start erection here fairly soon. It may not be yet this week, but if not, definitely next week, if the weather's good. I've been working with Caterpillar, with McAllister Machinery, who we purchased our wheeled excavator from. It's hard to believe it's already been 5 years. It's 5 years in July, it will be up. So that was the deal we struck there was on a lease purchase with full five-year warranty, and that will expire in July. So they're pricing that out as to what our trade-in, trade-up would be in order to get a new machine, and whether if we want to trade the old one back in or if we actually want to buy it out and keep it. So they're working on those numbers for us. The machines right now have about a 3 to 4 month backlog.
How's that been working out? That has that been a good loader?
Good. That has been one of the best things we ever did. That has worked out great. We use it. There's been just a few days when we've had some computer issues with all new machinery that has been down for maintenance. But other than that, we work that thing every day that we're here pretty much, rain or snow. We can be putting in culverts, ditches, cleaning up trees from a storm, flood damage, whatever. Mark Seitz is our main operator. He does a great job. So that machine has saved us a bunch of time and money over the 5 years. They were glad to see that we had the hours on it. They give me a monthly report on hour usage. We're always above the curve on the number of productive hours versus the work week. So there's very little idle time. When Mark goes to work, he works at a full day. So that's worked out great. It's been a lot more reliable than the old grade halls.
Good.
And there are other manufacturers out there now that make a very similar machine. So we're working with Cat first just because we have the trade-in option available, and then we'll see what else is on the market. And I think the only other update I had was we had taken in bids on the DNR, what we call the DNR, between the two mitigation bridges on the school property, going from basically from the old Red Barn area there at Parkview out into the state park. We had three contractors bid on it. Unfortunately, hopefully it's not a sign of the times that the contractors are too busy, but all of the bids came in well over the estimate of what funding we had set aside for it. So what I would like to do is recommend to the commissioners that we reject those bids. And I'm working with the engineering firm to kind of tweak some of the design a little bit to kind of hopefully save a little money. And then here shortly, we will rebid that project since it is basically considered a locally funded project, since that's being paid for out of the money that DNR gave the county to do that project. So I would like to recommend that we void those three bids, and then we'll rebid it here in the near future.
I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Okay.
I'll second a motion to that effect.
Okay. So we're going to reject the bids we received and rebid it again, see if we can get a different result. Okay. Okay. We have a motion and a second, so is there any discussion or questions from anyone? Hearing none, we'll take a vote on it. Dave?
I agree. I'm good.
And Diana?
Aye.
So it's unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay. Back to Mike. Are you done, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing, Jerry. You remember at the last meeting we had a discussion from the Indiana Railroad had petitioned the county for a railroad crossing safety closure out on Indian Hill.
Yes.
And there has been a resolution prepared by legal for that. It doesn't have a number yet, but it's a resolution by the Board of Commissioners of the County of Brown, Indiana, approving the crossing closure and settlement agreement with the Indiana Railroad. So with your approval, we'd like to go ahead and move forward on that. And then that will allow the railroad to start their process, and it will also allow us to apply for the state grants to give us some funding to help do improvements to the road. So that will become basically on the south end will become a dead end road. So the state will help give us mitigation money to hopefully about $35,000 to do road improvements.
Okay. Yes. Do we need a motion on that?
We do need a motion. It'll be a resolution, Julia.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the County of Brown approving crossing closure and settlement agreement. And this is for the Indian Hill Railroad crossing.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Sure, I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to close that railroad crossing on Indian Hill Road and receive some money from the state for mitigation. Is there any discussion or questions?
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
I have a question. Yep, I have a question. Do we know when that railroad will be closed yet? When that crossing will be closed?
No, we don't know what. We don't know a date yet.
Okay.
Mike's working. There's one house up there that'll be affected. And other than that, there's some Sycamore Land Trust property that they've got other places to access. So he's been in contact with them.
Okay. Okay. We have a motion and a second on the railroad crossing, and I'll call for a vote. Dave, yay or nay?
Yay.
And Diana?
Yay.
And I'll go yay. So it's unanimous. We'll move forward with that.
Hey, Diana, this is Lauren Box. If you guys, once you get signatures on that resolution, could just send me a copy of that. The railroad's attorneys have asked just for documentation of us approving that resolution. So I'll send it on to them once you guys get that back to me.
Okay. As soon as we get our signatures on it, I'll scan it up to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, one other thing here from this corner. My iPad's dead zero.
I can not, yeah.
Out of power.
You want to go rescue Dave?
He stepped in what?
Somebody's going to come rescue you. Is it out of juice?
Yeah, just out of juice.
It's almost out of juice. I told Laura that we didn't have time to get I'm going to order some power packs. We discussed that this morning.
Hang on.
Sorry about that.
Okay. We can hear you, but just can't see you.
That's right.
I'm sorry about your luck.
That's all right. I believe we had a question from Ron Fleetwood.
Yeah, thank you for Mike Magner. I'd like to know a little bit about the bridge plan, because in that report that the Democrats put out in 8 of 18, you said that you were starting on a bridge plan at that time for the order of repair and that kind of thing. And I'd kind of like to hear from you on where you are on that plan and what the order of repair is going to be, what studies have to be done, what funding is available.
Not for anything.
Yeah, Mike, I also was going to ask, who's been doing our inspections on the bridges? And do you have a feeling for whether we should continue with them, or I mean, we certainly should look at all the proposals that come from our RFP. Has that been, who's been doing our bridge?
I'm locked up. We're having difficulty hearing.
Is her sign too?
I didn't hear any of Ron's question.
Would you like me to try again?
I can hear. Do you want me to?
Okay. Yeah. Mike's going to go into Melissa's office and see if he can hear from there.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, Mike, in that report from the Democrat in 2018, you said you were starting on your bridge plan based on the inspections at that time. And I was interested in knowing where we are on that plan, which bridges are going to be looked at first for repair, what kind of cost is involved, how much funding is available, what kind of studies have to be done ahead of time. And I know, for instance, in this bridge down here on Elkinsville Road, that there'll have to be a study done to determine flow when you replace a bridge like that. But, and of course, we're responsible for the engineering, but I'd like to see a report on all the bridges that needed repair and replaced from that 2018 memo. And I haven't seen anything, so if you could give us an update on your plan, I sure would appreciate it.
Okay, I can do that at the next meeting. I don't have any of that information with me. The thing to remember with what was in the paper is the numbers that are thrown out are assuming full federal spec replacement on all the structures. So those numbers are extremely high. But I can bring some information back at the next meeting.
Well, I would certainly appreciate that, because how critical, and I've mentioned that before, this bridge is a dead-end road. So we're probably looking, if we're going to get government funding, as you said on that, they're going to pay possibly 80% of it. But don't we still have to pay for the engineering and any studies that have to be done, and purchase any property that needs to be purchased?
Actually, they've reverted back to where now a part of the PE cost and right away is reimbursable. Also, we went through a phase where the local governments had to pay for all that. It's kind of like make sure you're serious, so have the LPAs pay for the design and the right away. But now they've thrown some of that back in, plus the construction engineer, all as participating functions.
So, what kind of timeline are we looking at right now on that bridge?
Well, that one, I don't have a definite date on that one, but there, anything with federal funds, if we decide to go federal funds and not through, you know, there's still a possibility of the Forest Service on that particular bridge at Elkinsville, but typical federal aids are still in that 4 to 5 year window.
Well, that bridge, according to this report, was scheduled for 2019.
Well, those are continuously updated, so it has not. We just got some preliminary results back on our update from this fall, so it's still looking about that same window. It needs some deck rehab a little bit on some of the wood planks, but other than that, the ultimate, it's still in that 4 to 5 year window. It has not decreased by the 2 years, just by the calendar.
Okay. So, but you're going to kind of give us an update on everything basically that was on that. Some of them may have moved out. Repairs been done or whatever, but
we've replaced some structures. We've had some that have actually gotten worse, so I actually have a preliminary sheet that I'm developing a new update report for on right now.
Yeah, I think the public would be happy to see that. I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, and for Mike, who has been doing our bridge inspections the last round?
It's USI Consultants out of Indianapolis.
USI, okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll look at those proposals we get for the future bridge inspections when we get them in and make a decision from there. I love the paving and all, but we also have to take care of our bridges. And we do have, I know of a few that look pretty bad. I don't know, I haven't seen the reports on from the inspections, but we've got to take care of our bridges too, so.
Right, they're actually working on one today.
That's good. Yeah, I know we replaced one down in Van Buren, and got to stay on top of that as well as the paving. You know, bridges are not as visible a problem to the public, but they're absolutely essential.
Yeah, and all the small structures too that aren't in the book.
Oh yeah. I saw an email this morning from some outfit that makes these composite bridge decks, and they had replaced a 60-foot bridge somewhere, I don't know, I think in southern Indiana, at a cost of about only $200,000 with new abutments and the deck and everything. Is a composite bridge deck. We'll talk about that later. I'm not sure what that is, but, you know, we need to try to save all the money we can on these repairs. So.
Exactly.
I'd like to just make one other comment, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Those structures that you're talking about that look like a bridge but aren't a bridge because they're not 20-foot span, as far as I know, we don't know where all of those are or what condition they're in because there's never been any documentation put together. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, that's typical with the majority of the counties. When the feds back in the late 60s, when they came out with the bridge inspection program, they arbitrarily picked the 20-foot span just from a funding mechanism, and it stayed that way ever since. So the inspection reports only have the bridges that are 20 feet or longer.
So what happens is we don't really even know where one of those is or the condition it's in until it fails.
Well, that's not 100% true, but there is a lot of truth to that, but not 100%. So yeah, we're out doing maintenance checks all year long.
As you remember, and I talked to you about this, that back some years ago, I started a program of putting all those, finding them and putting them all on the GIS map. And of course, the superintendent after me destroyed all that information, but we actually were driving roads, finding them and measuring them and putting those on the GIS map at the same time. So I think something needs to be done to identify them, and I hope you're doing that, but just to locate them and identify what kind of condition they're in, because falling through 18 foot or 20 foot really doesn't matter too much to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Tell her she is muted. You're muted.
I'm unmuted now.
Okay.
And Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but at some point, eventually, Ron, this new county asset report, the road asset report that LTAP makes us do for these grants every year they add a new layer to it. So I would imagine at some point those are going to be added, because that will become part of the county road asset inventory. I can't remember what they added this year, but they added a new item this year. So I got one more. Let's see. I've got a couple more things. Melissa's got some HR stuff, but if I can get Melissa to hold off, I'd like to get to Cameron Fox so I can get him, you know, back to being a productive teenager. So Cameron sent us a letter about his Eagle Scout project, and he would like, with our approval, refurbish the liar's bench on the courthouse lawn. I'm pretty sure that his immediate adult supervisor will make sure that that is done with the utmost historical accuracy. Mr. Fox. Let me unmute Cameron.
Yes, I will. Rick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you go.
All right.
Oops, there you go. All right. So,
we've got under other business, the reimbursement agreement.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get Cameron going, because I've got a couple things with the coroner's office and human resources. It'll still take us a little while. This is pretty quick.
Yeah, okay.
So what he wants to do is refurbish the liar's bench on the courthouse lawn. They've got the frames, but the wood slats are pretty worn and getting a little more fragile, I guess. Cameron?
Yeah.
Tell us what your thoughts are.
To replace the wood, I'll talk to Eagle Manufacturing and see if we could their wood router, like the CNC router, to carve back in the liar's bench text onto the bench, and then to brush the metal and replace the screws.
Okay.
So may I look new again?
I'm good with that.
All right.
Mr. Yep. Pittman.
Yep, sounds good. Appreciate that work there, Cameron.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you, Cameron. All right, so I know what the Eagle Scout projects, I think I've got to sign something.
Diana, sorry to interrupt, but Julia said to let her in.
Let her in?
Yeah, she got out, yeah.
Okay. Got him.
Thank you.
Okay.
So if you want to bring me whatever you need signed, Cameron, bring that up to the office. Okay. Send it with your, you know, mail delivery boy or something. And... All right. And that sounds great. I appreciate it. That is something that was on my list to see if we couldn't make that look a little bit nicer this year. And I appreciate you stepping in and reading my mind and getting that done.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Judy, you can't be outside.
Yes, she is.
I see the wind blowing through your hair.
Okay. So then the next thing is the reimbursement agreement. And this is for the loan that we're doing with the building corporation. So we had a document that allowed us, that we agreed to do that. And in that document, it really wasn't very clear on the repayment details. So I had Tom Pittman draft up an actual reimbursement agreement. The Maple Leaf Building Corporation has already signed it and approved it. It just needs to be approved on our end. And this agreement kind of tidies it all up so that it is consistent with the administration agreement, which is what we wanted to make sure that we weren't conflicting with that. So the all the whereases and therefores, the important part is the building corporation requested that the county advance the corporation from available funds in the amount of $150,000. That came from the Motor Vehicle Highway Fund that we had some money in. We are only taking what we need each month up to that amount. We didn't take the whole $150,000 out. And the building corporation has pledged from contract payment revenues to repay that before December 31st of 2020 without interest. That's the meat and bones of the document. So they know that there's an actual repayment date. We've already paid the first interest only payment, and I think Julia is there somewhere, but I don't think she has a microphone, but it was right at the $36,000 mark. We actually took that out of unencumbered money, unappropriated money for Motor Vehicle Highway, so we're not dipping into Mike's actual budget right now. He had some unappropriated revenue in that fund, which was good. So we think we've got the rest of it covered. We will hope that this should get us through April, May, June, July. And the venue is scheduled, I mean, according to the governor's timeline, if nothing happens between now and then, knock on wood, we should be able to start having concerts there, I would say, sometime after the 4th of July.
I saw in the news there's a venue in Arkansas that's reopening with Scott McCrady, one of the country guys. Seating capacity is like 1,150, and they're going to have 229 people in there. They're spacing them all out 6 feet apart and requiring everyone to wear masks. So, yeah. You know, it's pretty early in this game, but I can see by midsummer where we could be there and start getting some revenues back in from this.
And I think if we look at the concerts that, and I'm sure the board and Christian has been discussing this, if we look at doing some of the concerts that are not complete sellouts, you know, earlier in the game,
right,
that'll help, you know, get us to where we can start having some of these shows that have a higher capacity. But I know that he's working on that. He's working on rescheduling some events. He and Andrea have just been real troopers. I don't know. I mean,
once they start doing cabin rentals and those sorts of things, and we'll start getting back in some more innkeeper's taxes, that will help offset this cost, correct?
Yes, it will. It will. Okay. That's part of our concern in getting this going. So,
my only question, if we did not make this loan, that money that we're taking from the Motor Vehicle Fund, would that be used now, or in what time frame, and what's not going to get done by us borrowing that?
So what we're looking at right now, Jerry, is Mike has over $150,000 in salt and sand.
Okay.
So if we start taking out of that actual budget, that's where we'll hit it first.
Okay.
With the likelihood that we still have gas tax, motor vehicle highway tax coming in every month. I think I just signed something for about $86,000.
Yeah.
In revenue that's come in when we did the claims this morning.
Yeah, okay.
So he still has money coming in. We are going to continue to draw that out of his unappropriated funds so we don't have to hit the actual budget. But he still has funds coming in every month.
Okay.
From the motor vehicle highway tax.
Okay.
So we'll just watch it, and as we, you know, as we can, we will take it out of there. The other thing that we discovered, I asked Julia, you know, we did that special legislation for an admissions tax. We have been collecting a $1 admissions tax on every ticket since September, October. When that went into effect, there were shows that were already on sale. So we did not get the dollar for the tickets that were already on sale. But according to Jeff Overby at the Music Center, we should have somewhere around $21,000, $22,000, $23,000 in the admissions tax. And the department, Indiana Department of Revenue, has yet to send us a dollar. So Julia and I are looking into that to find out where that disbursement is and why we haven't received it. If we get that money, I think when we did the legislation, it says it can be used toward payments. If that's the case, then we can use that as well. So that was something else we hadn't thought about, which would keep us, and that's what that money's for, and that would keep us from having to dip too far into motor vehicle highway. So, you know, we're still trying to figure out how to navigate all of these things. But anyway, this reimbursement agreement, I guess I would just at this point like to make a motion, if that's okay with you.
Yes, I'll entertain that motion.
I'll make a motion that the commissioners approve the reimbursement agreement between the county commissioners and the Brown County Maple Leaf Building Corporation.
To be repaid by year's end.
Correct.
Yeah. Actually, they just usually all go into the legals. I think the only reason that we have it separated is mainly for us. So, because it's two separate meetings.
Well, I got some feedback from someone.
They should go in.
I hear someone talking.
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
Oh, no, just the Area Planning Commission for all of them. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Planning Commission, so that's got to be Dave.
We don't have a charge yet, do you?
It's Dave.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I can't see him.
Can you mute Dave unless you're talking? There we go.
Okay.
No.
Okay, we have a motion to approve this reimbursement agreement to use the motor vehicle highway tax up to $150,000 to Maple Leaf Corporation for interest payments to be repaid by December 31st of this year. And so do I hear a second? Dave?
He's
having a hard time hearing is what I'm hearing.
Okay, he's muted too.
Let me unmute him. All right.
There we go.
Can you hear me, Dave? Are
you there? Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, see if you can send him in with Melissa.
Somebody go find Dave.
He can come in here if he needs to.
Okay.
And I can go into Diana's.
I'm at home, so I can't help much there.
He left. He's probably coming over here.
Okay.
All right. You have a seat here.
What?
You have a seat here.
Over here.
No, you'll have to sit in front of the camera.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to go in for, in there by Diana. Her and I are by each other all the time anyway, so it's not going to make any difference. So you sit here.
Fine, I will.
Coachable.
That's good.
We want to see your ugly mug.
We are really challenged.
Oh, there it comes.
We're changing this next week.
Okay. You can sit over there, and then get away from me.
I never away from you, so it doesn't matter anyway.
I can't get rid of her if I wanted to.
That's right.
Well, Dave, you don't look any better on that camera than you did the other one, but nevertheless.
I was about to say something to you about you. It wasn't nice.
Commissioner Biddle made a motion to approve the reimbursement agreement for the money that's being transferred from the Motor Vehicle Highway Fund to Maple Leaf, up to $150,000 for the interest payments that would have to be repaid to the Highway Fund by December 31st of this year. She's made that motion, and I'm looking for a second.
And I'll second.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion or questions from anyone?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ron Fleetwood. Well, just keep in mind that motor vehicle tax money is going to go down because gas sales have dropped way off. It has nothing to do with the price of gas, only the gallons. So.
Right.
And the fact that that money could be used for failures of structures that aren't bridges. You can't use bridge money on anything but bridges. So All of those smaller structures fall into that category of highway fund. And
we can use restricted MVH. We can use restricted MVH for those structures.
Right, right. Motor vehicle funds are fine. You can use that money on bridges, but you can't use bridge money.
Yeah, I know. It's strange.
So there's just the threat of some of those that we don't know what shape they're in, like happened on Bob Allen Road. Like, you know, we've had two of those in Van Buren Township that had to be replaced, failed, and there's nothing to say that can't happen elsewhere. And emergency funds need to be available.
Sure.
Ron, we're doing the best that we can with what we've got. The best we can do.
I understand that, but that's just something you have to keep in the back of your mind. That
we are.
Bad things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make me happy to do this at all, but you know, whether you were for or against the thing to begin with, we are where we are now. And I don't think we want to throw in the towel yet on the Music Center. I think we're got a good chance of coming right back out of this when the economy opens back up. So we're juggling things the best way we can here to try to keep our investment intact and keep moving forward. So, okay. So I have a motion and a second. And any other discussion? Questions?
Okay.
So we'll take a vote. Dave, yay or nay?
Aye.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay. Diana?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. So we have three votes yes, unanimous. Okay. I've lost my agenda here on my phone. What do we got next there, Diana?
We got Cameron. I've got HR and we have the coroner's building. You want me to turn Melissa loose on you? Or do you want to talk about the coroner first?
Doesn't really matter. I won't take very long.
I do think that it bears our response to let the county know and the citizens of the county know where the commissioners are in terms of reopening and recovery.
Yes.
We really haven't made a cohesive statement. So I think that I would like your your what? Your consent?
Yeah, to what I'm about to read. And
I would like your consent to say that the county commissioners want to go on record as supporting and following the governor's executive orders regarding the reopening plan for the state. The town affirmed that position last night at their meeting. I think it's important for the commissioners to affirm the same.
And I agree with you, Diane. I absolutely am right behind our governor in the way he's laid out the opening of Indiana back up.
Thank you.
It seems like a reasonable plan to me. Some states are moving a lot faster, some are not. And I don't think one size fits all. Indiana's been relatively under-affected by this pandemic in comparison to many other states. And I think what's laid out makes sense, and it's all dependent as the plan progresses on certain criteria being met. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have a reversal and we start getting more cases, then that's going to be slowed way down. So it does have flexibility in it, but I think it is a good overall plan. Even if the governor didn't have his mask on, we all screw up once in a while. And anyway.
How many times have you been guilty of that, Jerry? I've been
guilty of that. Yeah, okay.
It just goes to show you that, you know, the governor is human just like the rest of us. So, yeah. But I do want to thank Andrea Baker, Andrea, for my new mask. So Melissa got cute. One too.
Yeah, there you
it
go.
Is. So thank you.
Yes, I'm in agreement with backing the governor's plan and adopting that for Brown County as well. We want to make a resolution out of that or anything?
I think we just make it as a statement, but I can certainly type it up.
Okay.
I do have it written down, so.
Okay.
All right, I'll do that. And I'm going to pass this over to Melissa, and she can yell at us for a while.
I'm not yelling.
Okay.
Okay, so what I'm just doing here is just kind of giving a 411. This was actually sent out Monday afternoon. Susan and myself with EOC sat down and went over phase one and phase two, what it was going to look like, and phase three last week with every elected official and department head. Actually just trying to figure out what they needed for their PPEs, what they needed in their offices, how they looked at their scheduling. So we were reaching out and speaking with everyone to try to figure out where we were at. We have now opened the County Annex building, which was the only building that was closed for an abbreviated week. They were open Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 3. Now we're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. as normal hours. We do have people limited in the offices. They're still doing rotations. We do have a few high-risk people that are working from home, which was asked of us to do this by the governor's order. So we are still following that. We asked staff questions and spoke to everyone in the county annex and the county buildings about PPE. We have actually sent out a form that is to be filled out when requesting PPE. And this is due to the fact that though we're starting to look at paperwork that's coming down from the federal and down from the state on how we're going to get reimbursed by FEMA. Things have to be ordered on these forms. If they're not ordered on these forms, then there is a chance that we do not get reimbursed. So we are also starting to look at timesheets and how things were filled out and that sort of thing. We all have to be consecutive right across the board or we don't get refunds. And it could be refunds up to 75%. Or more, so we do not want to ignore what this means to our county as far as reimbursements on the pandemic.
The building itself is still, the county annex is going to be closed for anyone in the building area other than the salmon room. So it's a limited access. They can come in. They will get served through there, any service that they need. They are not to come into the building. The essential functions of the county business will be completed in the salmon room. If there's anything else, the elected officials or the department heads will determine what is effective for their office. We also are, we have reached out and discussed with everyone how they want and what do they want. And so I'm not going to go into details with those, but I will, the one that I do want to go into detail that will hugely impact the public is actually the courthouse. Judge Wirtz has emailed this out to us, and so I'm just going to read it verbatim of what she said. Until this health crisis passes, court security will follow the following policies and procedures to provide additional protective measures. Only parties, their attorneys, and necessary witnesses shall be permitted to enter the courthouse from purpose of attending the court hearings. The court authorities court security to deny entry to any persons who wish to attend a hearing and is not a party, an attorney, or a necessary witness. Court security shall ask questions to determine why a person wishes to enter the courthouse, or if court security determines that a person could conduct his or her necessary business by telephone or other means, court security may deny entrance and direct the person to conduct his or her business by telephone or other means. In order to limit the court security officer's interaction with individuals, court security is authorized to prohibit a person from carrying into the courthouse a purse, backpack, bag that is not capable or effective visual search. A court security officer shall take the temperature of each person wishing to enter the building and denying any entry to anyone who registers a temperature over 100 degrees. The court security officer shall not permit entry to any person who answers yes to any of the following questions. In the past 14 days, have you been asked to self-quarantine by a doctor, hospital, or health agency? In the past 14 days, have you been diagnosed or have had contact with anyone who has been diagnosed with COVID-19? Or do you have a fever, cough, or shortness of breath? A court security officer may deny entry to any person who refuses to answer any question or comply with these policies and procedures. So that is how the court is going to be ran in this phase.
There's no requirement for a mask.
Okay, then actually there's no requirement for a mask, but they do prefer for them to wear a mask. So, and they will be practicing distancing. So that is the way the court will be running. The county is also wearing masks when we get amongst each other out in the salmon room. The community is being very faithful about wearing their masks. Lots and lots of community members are coming in with masks. So protection is of the utmost. So anyone with any questions? Rick has a question, would you?
Yeah, just a point of clarification. It was a little confusing about the salmon room. The building is open for entry into the salmon room from the upper parking lot. There's a big sign on the door. The other thing that I was asked to talk about is the property tax payment. Highly recommend you just mail that in with a self-stamped envelope, and they will mail you back the receipt. There won't be any fees taken at the annex because of that. So that's all.
That's right. That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Okay, that's it.
I don't see anybody else.
Okay. Okay, Rick, thank you for that. That was a question I had for the treasurer's office about the receipts, because I've been asked by numerous individuals if I mail it in, how do I get my receipt? So, yeah, just close an envelope, right?
That is correct.
Okay, great.
So, Rick, while we have you, so we will, I think the decision has been made in our building and a couple of other offices. We will continue to use the Salmon Room as our primary servicing point for people that need things from offices. But we're not going to open this building to the public until we complete the installation of those plexiglass, what do we call those? Windows, screens?
Yeah, sneeze guards, whatever you want to call them, I guess, yeah.
So we are working on that, correct?
That is correct. That's in progress. I've got a company coming in tomorrow to give us some quotes on that particular thing.
No, I missed it.
It never got okay, to.
And did we got the hardware ordered for the Dropbox to install in the treasurer's office?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's a payment issue on that, so we'll take care of that.
Okay. All right, we'll get that done. So that is something that we are working on.
That is correct. And then there'll be a Dropbox at the treasurer's office, and that'll be, hopefully, we'll have that in within the next week and a half.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, all right, Jerry.
That's it for HR. Okay. Just to bring you up to speed, those that might not have heard, we need a coroner's office. Earl Piper's been operating out of the nursing home for a number of years. And
funeral home.
Funeral home, I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Funeral home. And, but that's, he's retiring. That free ride's going to come to an end shortly. So, we've been in discussions with Jerry Fleetwood, who has property suitable that's out at the junction of 46 and 135. And he is interested in building a building for us and leasing it back to us for a new coroner's office. And he's gotten quotes on the cost of that and so forth. Basically a very basic building, 40 by 40. But big enough for the coroner's office, a place for his three refrigerators to hold bodies, and the necessary facilities for the autopsies to be performed there. The autopsies are done by outside people who come in and do them there. Basically, everything stays in the body bag and leaves all in that bag. So it's a simple procedure. But what we're looking at is that Jerry is going to build the building, furnish the property, build the building. It will be completely finished except for whatever the coroner specific tools they need in there. There will be a secure storage area as well. And the cost of that building looks like it's going to be around $115,000. And we're in the process of forwarding this to Barnes and Thornburg to prepare a triple net lease that we'd execute with Jerry. It would be for 15 years. At the end of the 15 years, we both walk away. He gets the building, and we're done. It'll save us the cost of constructing, finding property and constructing a building, and we'll have a fixed monthly payment be made to him. The terms of that lease are negotiable at this point in time. It will be a pretty standard situation. There are formulas that determine, you know, how much return you should get on an investment. And Jerry's not looking to get rich. We're not looking to take advantage of anybody. It will be a good two-way deal for both of us. That'll put him at his retirement age. He'll have some income then from his building. And in the meantime, we'll have 15 years to do something else.
Right.
So our least expensive way to get out of building a new coroner's office, and it'd be a good deal, I think, for the taxpayers as well as for Mr. Fleetwood. So, be sending this up to Barnes and Thornburg to prepare a lease, and then we'll I'll continue the negotiations with Jerry, and we'll work out a final deal. His counsel will look at the agreement that we prepare, and then we'll come to an agreement. So, and this could happen fairly quickly. The building could probably be done and moved into by August, quite conceivably. And by that time, I think Mr. Piper will be glad to complete his obligations with the funeral home and move on. So that's okay. My report on that. Any questions?
Do you have anything from Jerry regarding the interest rate?
We've not really talked about that. He's probably going to borrow the money from the bank to build the building.
Okay.
And then his lease payment that we make to him to cover it, amortize his debt, will factor into it. So interest rates are low right now, so it's a good time for both of us to be doing this. But I'm sure it will be dependent on at what rate he can borrow the money. And what he will need in return to amortize his investment.
And then I think after the 15-year term and it's paid and it's, you know, his obligation is paid off, then we can continue renting that space.
Absolutely. He'll be looking for a tenant one way or the other. And I'm sure at that point in time, I mean, we could conceivably have maybe like a first right of refusal to continue the lease at that time. Something we could think about because we might want to stay there, but on the other hand, we might not want to. So, you know, might have an option there.
So, I think Lauren is still on the call. I think that Jerry, this would probably go up to Tom Engel at Barnes and Thornburg. He usually does, I think, the real estate stuff. So, let's get all of that packaged up and see if we can't come up with some kind of an agreement written on a napkin. And
yeah.
Hey, Diana and Jerry, if you guys do package that up, go ahead and send it to me because occasionally Tom Pittman handles things like this as well. Okay. So I'll take a look and check with both him and Tom Engel to see who they think would be the best person to handle this. So if you guys send it to me, I'll work with both of them to figure out how we might want to staff this.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Lauren. Either Tom is fine.
Yeah.
I know, they're both good Toms, so I figured you wouldn't mind.
Yes, thank you, Lauren. We'll do that.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
While we're there, do we have anything from legal? That's next on our agenda here. Do you have anything?
Nothing additional from me. I emailed Diana earlier this morning about the Indiana Railroad settlement agreement, and it sounds like we already got that handled. So that was the only thing I had on my list. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay, thank you. Last on the agenda, Commissioner Anderson, do you have anything to bring up today?
I have nothing. Thank you for asking, though.
Okay, and Commissioner Biddle?
I'm done.
Okay.
Hey, Jerry, before you guys sign off, I did see a question in the group chat. Diana, I don't know if you want to address that, but just before we adjourn the meeting.
Allison Schoaf, will the sneeze guards be installed at all county office buildings?
Yes.
Based on need, we'll install them wherever they need to be installed to protect you from other people. I think is that the pension office?
They will be located wherever someone has to come in contact with the public.
The public, yeah.
So if it's at your desk, but if not, then it would be at the front desk of that building.
So yes, Allison, plans are to install those wherever is necessary. So send Rick
When Allison is back or whenever I can meet with somebody down at the extension, I will meet with them and we'll work out the details of that.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. I have nothing further, so I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
A motion to second to adjourn. All in favor say aye. All right. Have a great day. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, everyone.